Are you waking up on a Monday and dreading going to work? Then this is an episode for you not to miss. Even if you enjoy and love your work, you are still going to get so much from today's episode. I speak with Sandra Kuel, who is a career coach. She's coached over 300 people and really helped them gain confidence and clarity. She's also helped people really understand what success means to them, understand their values versus their needs. Honestly, there was so many takeaways for me that I've actually gone away and written down so many notes from today's episode because I got so much from it. So I know you're going to really enjoy this episode today. So please stay on it right till the end. Give it your full attention because if you do, you will get so much from today's episode. Enjoy. Sandra, welcome to the Career Confidence Podcast today. I am really excited to dive into everything we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about how people can really take charge of their careers, how they can start loving Mondays as opposed to hating them, and how we can all find more joy and fulfillment in our careers. So we're going to have a great conversation today. But before we dive into the episode, I really would love to understand more about your career journey, your background, and what's brought you here today. So Sandra, over to you.
Thank you, Georgia. And thank you very much for having me in the podcast today. And so, well, as you, I'm the founder and CEO of Happy Mondays. And Happy Mondays is basically a career coaching company. And the reason why I ended up creating this company back in 2016 is because I was looking for help and I couldn't find anybody that could give it that to me, right? So I had a very similar career beginning as you, Georgie. I started in recruitment. So when I finished my uni, I flew to London and I had this big dream of living in the city center and living in a fancy house. And quite didn't work out as I planned. But anyway, so I started my career recruitment and for me, I sort of like grew into the role and I became quite good at it. I was growing quite fast, but there was this consistent feeling of something was wrong. And in recruitment, for many people, it's all about driving that money perspective, right? The incentive is you get more money and that's kind of what gets you moving. And very soon for me, my boss realized that that was not the one thing that kept me going forward. And so I had a sense of stagnation and yeah, London is a very dark city, so that didn't also help. And so instead of trying to figure out what was wrong, what I did was what many people do, which is to escape. So I packed my stuff and flew to Singapore. I got a bigger role and hoped that the change of continent would basically solve the problem. And to probably nobody's surprise, the problem did not get solved. So 6 months later, I basically had like an anxiety attack on a Sunday night. And I was like, okay, this is it. So I quit my job and I had no idea of what I wanted to do. So I looked for help. And what I found at that time was that recruiters were very, my peers, but they were very boxy. So they were like, oh, your background is in recruitment. This is everything that you could do, which I found it that it was not true to who I was. And I went for coaching and I found coaching to be too fluffy. And they were like, well, you can do whatever you want. And I was like, well, but it's not true because I have responsibilities and bills to pay and a visa to get to continue living in Singapore. And so in that limbo of not knowing what I wanted to do, something that is started to become clearer and clearer was that I was sort of fulfilling or building a career or building a life that it was maybe not true to who I was. You know, it's thinking like I grew up in a very complicated environment back in the past country in the 80s. So I always wanted to sort of fit in and having a voice or being different, it was not really an option for me. So I think that background combined with the Singapore market, it basically just all slowly clicked in. I help a friend get a job and then people like, oh, I think there is something on the way you see the market, on the way you can sort of see how people can promote themselves that could help many people. And so the true story is that we did an event in his condominium sort of shared room. I advertised it in Meetup because I had really no budget, nothing. And then about 15 to 20 people showed up. And the workshop was about getting hired or thinking as a recruiter. Like, what does it really work? And then at the end of the event, people were like, so how much do you charge? And I was like, well, let me come back to you tomorrow on that. And so that was the beginning of Happy Mondays. Initially, it was really focused on helping people find careers, land jobs in a very complicated market like Singapore, because I found that there was a gap from a recruitment perspective as well as from the coaching perspective. But then I think as I felt more and more comfortable on my own skin, because just for reference, when I first started the company, it was called the Thai Advisor, because I felt like I had to be somebody else, that like the colors were like gray and blue, and I was wearing a suit on the photo. Yeah. But I think as I peeled it out and I became more myself, and the brand also became much more about being bold and authentic and owning your space. And a lot of the work that we do is with people who are from the minorities, that they feel like they don't belong, which was something that was very dear to me. And so nowadays, Happy Mondays' mission is really to empower 1 million people from diverse backgrounds to create career success in the long term. Because we really believe there is no one size fits all. There is not only one way to be successful. It's a question of understanding what success means to you and building towards it.
What an amazing story. I was sat there and I was just smiling because honestly, Sandra, I've been having some conversations with a number of people over the years, and like recruitment, you meet so many amazing people. I've run this podcast now for almost 2 years. And I just think everybody is going on this life journey and everyone's searching for something and everyone's sort of trying to figure life out, figure themselves out. And it's just always so beautiful to hear people's stories, especially like stories like yourself. But there's a few real things that stood out for me in your story. The first one was you mentioned the word alignment. And I think this is so powerful because I also believe, and interestingly, you said you had a panic attack. Uh-huh. And the same thing happened to me. This is going back now 8 years ago when I started, I was quite early on into my recruitment career, but I was working in a company that was very, again, probably similar to sort of the company you work for, very like driven about the money and the commission and everything else. And I was more about the people. That's why I got into recruitment. And I started feeling really out of alignment because it didn't hold true to my values and what kind of person I wanted to be. And I started having anxiety and things like that. So I think this word alignment is so powerful. And the next word you said was authenticity, because this is the other piece to it as well. You've got to live your life. When you know who you are, when you're being authentic and true to yourself, it's easier to live in alignment. That's kind of what I've come to realize. But I think it's so powerful. So can you sort of take us into that sort of mindset of Sandra when she is living out of alignment? Like what kind of things was it like a feeling? Were things not feeling right? Because I think a lot of people find themselves in this situation and they don't know how to get out of it. And you got yourself out of it and now you've got your own company. It's amazing. So what were some like red flags that you identified when you were feeling out of alignment?
So there are a lot of things that I want to say. So let's see one thing at a time. So what I noticed that got me thinking that there was something wrong was, I think, that persistence feeling of dread. I really didn't want to go to work. And I noticed that what would make everybody else in the team be super excited about, it was just not working for me. So at one point, like everybody's reward system was towards money and more incentives in that direction. Whereas at one point, I was the only one in the company whose reward was to have Fridays off. So if I could hit all my KPIs, they would give me Friday off. Because that was the one thing that I needed. So also my boss was like, okay, so what is the one big dream that you have financially? And I was like, I don't know, maybe to buy a handbag. So like, you can buy that today. I need you to dream bigger. And I was like, it just doesn't work for me. So I think noticing that everybody else was happy when I wasn't was one of them. Similar to you, for me, I love talking to people and understanding the people's stories. And I remember my manager was like, Sandra, are they going to make you money today? And I was like, not quite. They're like, then hang up. And I was like, but there is something more than that. So I think in the recruitment space, that was one of the things that for me was a big red flag. But I thought, again, finding out what was wrong felt very scary. Digging into your authentic voice or who you are, it sounds beautiful and extremely empowering. But the problem is, I didn't know how. And again, I came back from a background where being different is risky, like very risky. So all I wanted to do was fit in. So doing something different, it just didn't even occur to me. So tapping into that authenticity, it is a lifelong journey for me. And I think I can see that I am more and more true to myself. But I will lie if I say that I'm like 100% true to myself all the time. Like, I think this is still ongoing. That was one of the points, I think, that it was interesting to emphasize that I do feel that, on the one hand, that element that I might seem like I have it all together, but it's not 100% true. Like, I still have my concerns and my fears, and I'm like, oh, am I going to be good enough? And like, all of those are still very present, very often. I do also say that I think I notice them more quick. So I can calm myself down and sort of bring myself back together, back myself. I think that is one of the key things that has been a theme for me this year. Like, I back myself up. I don't need anybody else. Like, I got this. So that's one of the good things. And I think building to the point of alignment, I come back to the same idea that there is no one way to find alignment. And I think it's very important to understand, maybe if you don't know what you care about or what's your sort of North Star, you might want to do it in the reverse order, like the reverse order. So what are the things that you want to get rid of? What are the things that seem that are not working for you? So identifying those red flags and the things that you want to walk away, that they kind of give you that sense of like, yeah, I really don't want to do that. That is a way to understand that there is a misalignment there. So sometimes I find, especially when I work with clients where they have been in environments that are very toxic, or that they really feel disengaged from who they truly are, asking them to tap into their own knowledge or their self-authenticity, they just don't know how to do it. So we do the reverse of going, okay, well, if tapping inside is not possible, what is from the outside that we don't want to do? And that can help us to sort of come back into alignment. Does that make sense?
It makes so much sense. And I think that's such a simple way of going about discovering who we are and what's important to us and what we like and what we don't like, starting with the things, okay, what don't we like? What isn't bringing us joy and fulfillment? Where's the dread coming from? What about the job or the work that we really dislike? And I think that's a really, really good place to start with people when you're sort of coaching them from that career perspective, because clarity is king. And I think when you know what you want and you have that North Star, everything becomes so easier, because the decisions you make, you can go, this is moving me closer towards my goals or further away from my goals. But we need to understand what the goal is and why we want to achieve it, because if we don't have a why attached to the goal, we'll never get there, because it's obviously just not big enough. So when your boss was saying, you could earn more money, you're like, that doesn't motivate me. I need more than that. And I think everyone feels that way. I think everyone, no one just wants to come to work every day just to get a pay slip. We want to feel like our life and our jobs and our work has meaning and fulfillment. That's what drives people. And I think that's why the best companies in the world have such good missions and visions, because the people are all on board and they go, like Elon Musk, you know, we're going to go to the moon, we're going to space, you know, it was like, oh, that's cool. So that's why people want to go and work for him. It's like saving humanity, you know? So if Earth gets destroyed, we're going to go to Mars. He's got such a big mission. That's what gets people to buy into him. So it's really, really interesting. Yeah, just such a fascinating story. I think so many people would be able to relate to that as well. But I also just want to, the final thing I'll sort of touch upon in your stories, I think it's so powerful, is this whole idea of fitting in. Because I think this, again, holds so many people back. This is the fear of what would people say if I leave this job, or my parents say, or my coworkers say, or my family say, you know, this is a good job and why don't I like it? And it's like, how did you go about deprogramming yourself and you're just sort of saying to yourself, it's okay not to fit in and maybe I haven't found my tribe yet? Like, how did you go about dealing with that? Because that's so powerful. It's so big.
I don't know. I think it went step by step over the years. But I think when I started conceiving the idea of Happy Mondays, I was very young. I was 27. I was in a foreign country. I'm obviously not, English is not my first language, so that also adds another layer. So I was very scared of doing something that it was different. But one of the key advices that I got, well, a couple, but one of them was, what's the very worst that can happen? Like that question. It was a senior HR person that I met for a coffee. And I was like, oh, I have this idea. Because at that time, I was playing with the idea of Happy Mondays, but I also got an offer to join a consultancy. And I was like, oh, I don't know. That lady sat there with me and she was like, she basically said there is a clear in the way you talk, you have already made up your mind, but there is a lot of resistance towards it. So she said, I want you to really be honest with yourself and think, what's the very worst that can happen? And at that time, for me, I was 27. I had no mortgage. I had no kids. Yes, if I wouldn't get a job and enough income, they would kick me out of the country. But I had a country to go back to. So realistically speaking, like, she just really helped me see things with a bit more perspective. And I think that is one of the simplest, the most effective things that we can do to each other. Because we get so caught up into like, oh, what are people going to say? What if I leave my job and then I can't come back to it? But they're like, really, it's not that bad. Like, I'm currently working with a guy who's like 26, and he's been working in this role for a year, and he's very unhappy, wants to change. He's like, but what if I change? Like, then I can't come back to that. I'm like, but you only have like 2 years of experience. You take a break. Like, it's not the end of the world. It really feels like it. And again, I'm not minimizing that feeling. But sometimes having that external perspective of like, let's put everything in the map. Like, is it really such a big issue? So yeah, to me, that concept of what's the very worst that can happen really made me think that I was magnifying perhaps the fear that I had, and that there was a reason, like a fire inside of me, that it wanted to come out, and that maybe, again, the risk, it wasn't so big. Like, even if I tried that, even if it didn't work, well, she kind of said, worst comes to worst, you will be exactly where you are today a year later with all of this experience. At least you will have a funny story to tell. And I kind of went, meh. Maybe.
I love that. And I think everybody needs that sort of coach or mentor in their lives, because I think that's it. We almost like overdo the worry piece, you know, like, it's going to be terrible. I'm going to lose my home, be out on the street, be jobless, be never be able to get a job again. It's like, actually, let's just pause there, because the mind has a habit of spiraling into like not even the worst case scenario, but like a scenario that would never happen because it's just so far fetched. But I think that's just so powerful, like reframing it. And you're so right. Sometimes you just got to back yourself, take these risks. And the worst case scenario would be like, okay, you did something, it didn't work out, but look at all the skills you've gained. That skill knowledge is so powerful. It's so powerful. And I think that, you know, anytime I've sort of tried something, even if it hasn't worked out, I've learned so much about myself, about, you know, a new tool, a new bit of marketing, a bit of sales. Like, it's all like, yeah, tools and things that you can add to your CV and to your career and to your knowledge. So that's such a powerful story. But look, obviously now moving on to your like coaching career, and I'm always sort of looking for clues and patterns, Sandra. I just do think that you've got the data. So people are coming to you, and I read on your LinkedIn that you've coached over 300 people now, which is incredible. What do you see when you're coaching people? Are there some sort of patterns and things that are really holding people back that you go, oh, that keeps on coming up? Or like, what are you seeing when you're sort of coaching hundreds of people throughout your career?
Yeah, no, there is clearly a pattern. So I would say that there are sort of three big themes, if we can say it that way, that we see, at least the people that come to us. On the one side is people who just cannot see, like they don't believe in themselves. It's that sort of part of mindset. The lack of self-agency distortion of beliefs about themselves and what they can do. And I think a lot of, like, I was in those shoes, right? So I can really identify that from an outsider. And it happens to you, I bet, Georgie, when you look at people's CVs, you're like, you're so good, if only you believe it, right? So I think that there's a lot of people with that. And especially you can see that on minority people, right? Or people who have been in environments, yeah, where there is perhaps more toughness, it takes up to only one's confidence. I think that's one big bucket. And a lot of the work that we can do is just showing them and mirroring them how great they are. And then suddenly you can see there is this sentence that one woman says always, like, I grow a couple of centimeters taller after every session. And it's just that, right? Like, it's being there to help see. So I think one is that element of mindset or confidence. And then the other two things is, well, there's plenty of people who believe in themselves, and that's fantastic. But then the other two struggles that they find is, like, I don't know where to go. And I always like to use this example of, it's almost like you are in a roundabout and you can go in any direction. You are thinking about a career transition and you can go everywhere. And the fact that you can go into so many directions is paralyzing. So you become like an ostrich. You put your head on the ground and the hope that the problem will be solved, which is kind of what I did when I flew to Singapore. So that is also a very common theme that we see of people and the paralysis by analysis, right? Like you stay there and people are like, oh, I'm not sure. I don't know where to go. I'm not ready to make a decision. And what they don't realize is that staying put is also a decision. And so that's a big part. So not knowing what to do, or like where to go, that north is not that direction, that, yeah, the path. And then there is a third element that we see that is like, okay, I do believe in myself. I know what I want to do. I just don't know how to make that happen. And I think those are sort of the three buckets that no matter what type of work we do with very diverse individuals, there is usually one of these three, if not all three, as the key reasons why people are feeling stuck or not making changes.
Right. This is really powerful because I'm sure there is a lot of people listening to this right now that can identify with one of those three buckets, and maybe some people have got all three. So I'd love to make this a little bit practical now. So let's take it at bucket number one, that they don't believe in themselves. They've got all of these limiting beliefs. How would you go about starting to reframe and help somebody in that bucket that they just got lacking of confidence, don't believe that they're worthy of achieving success? Where do you begin coaching someone that's in that bucket?
So I think one of the first things that I learned to do was to honor that that's the reality. And so I find that I don't like this, what I call cheap positive psychology of like, you can do it, I believe in you. Like that doesn't quite sit well with me when I was in dog shoes. And so a lot of the work that we do is to say, look, this is how you see it, and that's fair. So let me show you another way to look at it. It doesn't mean that my way is better than your way. So I think a lot of value is not validating the reality so they feel understood, and that's okay to be like that as well. And once they feel safe, we can then go, okay, what if? And then we can see another angle. And in that other angle into practicalities, I think that somebody might not feel confident in one area, but the I'm not confident usually is not across every domain of their lives. So showing them that they do have competence and confidence and that they have taken risks in the past and that it worked out well, showing them how they did it in the past, you can kind of go like, oh, and at that time I didn't think I could do it, and yet look, I did it. So it's sort of sometimes it's easier to look back at everything that you've done and use that to fuel you forward rather than asking you to make a leap of faith. One of the big moments for me was when I jumped in that plane when I was like 23, with barely any English, go like, I'm going to make it to London and I'm going to be super successful. Like the naiveness and the power of that act. Like if I could do that, like what makes me think that I cannot do a lot of other things, right? So I think remembering that is very powerful. And everybody has stories and situations like that, maybe not professionally, but in their lives. And then if I zoom in more into the careers, one of my favorite exercises to do with people is an achievement library. So it can be things that they've done, or I ask them to go to the emails or to the WhatsApps or Slack or whatever that is that they use at work, and to look for the well done messages or somebody saying thank you. I did this with a client. She was in one of the big techs. And so she created, she had like a library of feel good moments. And so when she doesn't feel like she's contributing or she's doing good enough, she just goes back to that. And he sees it visually, people saying thank you, because we tend as humans to hold on to the negatives more than the positives. So for us to remember how good we are, we might need to see it ourselves. So creating that library or resource that you can go back to and you can see the impact that you are creating, because it can be something that is not so big when you look back 6 months. But at that moment, it felt big for somebody. So having those checking points that you can sort of come back to, I find that very useful. I do that with my own like recommendations when I feel down. I'm like, let me read through how I impacted people. And I'm like, yeah, that's good. And like it just helps you sort of, I guess like for you as well, right? The success stories, like that is when you feel down, you hold on to that and be like, it makes sense. We should keep pushing. So that's kind of what we do.
That is so powerful. And I was smiling as you were saying that, like this 23-year-old jumping on a plane, like so naive. Like, but this is the thing, right? If you've done something, and everyone's got a story like that, similar to that, maybe it's not jumping on a plane, going to another country, but you've done something that you push yourself, you're a bit fearful, you took a risk, and you can look back and be proud of that moment, whatever it is. For me, it was, I came to Australia with a rucksack when I was 23 and I knew nobody and I had $100 in my bank account. And I thought, right, I'm here now, naive Georgie, turned up in Melbourne thinking it was going to be hot because I just presumed Australia was hot. And I arrived in like the middle of the winter. I was like, oh my God, I thought Australia was hot. But it's in these moments where you build up your character, you build up your strength, you build up in the belief in yourself. And it doesn't come from, you know, having a charmed life and everything just going smoothly. It comes from these times of struggle. That's where we start to back ourselves, because you go, if I can do this, I can do this. And you start to stack that. But we forget because life tends to have a habit of, you know, grinding us down, and we focus on the wrong things. Just, I love that, a library of all the things that you're super proud of. And that's absolutely fantastic advice. And straight away, just even reflecting on that moment, I feel uplifted. I go, oh yeah, I do remember that moment. I rocked up in a rucksack completely naive. And you smiled as well when you were talking about your story. So I think everyone should just pause right now and think about a story that they've got in their lives that, you know, they could look back and be really proud and be like, yeah, look what I did. Look what I achieved in that moment. So that's phenomenal.
If I can add on to that, in case, if somebody doesn't feel like that, because sometimes you're like, oh, people had these like massive life decisions, such as changing country, like it's our case. And some people maybe don't relate to that. So just a quick extra tip in there. If you cannot think of anything yourself, ask around. I bet your family, your friend have an example. And so sometimes using other people believing yourself can be how you start to believe in yourself. So that is also just like a little nuance that I wanted to add.
I'm so pleased that you just added that on, because I think if people are really struggling with self-belief and confidence, they might need that somebody else to come in and say, but look what you did here and look what you did there. So that's really powerful. The second step, which I also thought was phenomenal, is that cold clarity piece. And that's how people are like, okay, they've got the belief now, so they're starting to build their confidence a bit, but they don't know how to apply it. They feel a bit stuck. They don't know what the next step would be. So how do you sort of help and coach people through this next step to really sort of seek the clarity that they need to take the next step? Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I wanted to quickly pop in and talk to you about our amazing supporter, CH Talent Solutions. We are an IT and digital recruitment company based in Australia. If you are someone right now looking for a new opportunity or considering a career pivot, please reach out to one of our consultants. Or if you are somebody looking to build your team or build your company or scale, again, please reach out to us if you are looking to find the best tech talent fast. I look forward to connecting with you. Now back to today's episode. Enjoy.
Well, in our case, in Happy Moments, we have a pretty like a process or like a system in place. In our experience, what makes you happy and basically your definition of happy moments is in a place where you're playing to your strengths. And you are in an organization or in a setting where you are covering your needs, you are aligned to your values and sort of working towards a bigger vision. And that is the starting point. And so a lot of the work that we do is sort of setting those grounds, understanding that your inner talent is what you're good at. And again, if here we don't really know, you can ask around. People can always chip in and help you see things. And it's funny because often what we do naturally, because we do it naturally, we don't think it's a strength. And it takes somebody else to go like, oh no, it takes me forever to get to that point for you to go like, oh, I didn't realize that. Your needs, and I really pay attention to this because often people don't listen or there's not enough conversation about the importance of your needs. And what I mean by that is that everybody's saying we should work towards our values or in line with our values, which I 100% agree. However, if you are ignoring your needs, even if you're working towards your values, it won't work, not in the long term, at least in our perspective. Let me give you an example. You might value innovation and creativity, and yeah, that will lead you towards joining a startup. But if one of your core needs is stability, if you work well only in environments that gives you a structure in place and you need a certain level of financial stability, a startup, potentially, even though it will be values aligned, it won't fulfill you. Your needs will be unmet. and therefore it won't work. So for us, the way we think about it is much more important to be clear on your needs and being aware that your needs are transient. What is important and a need for you today might not have been the same that it was 5 years ago, and it probably won't be the case in 5 years from now. If, for example, you are currently in a toxic environment, finding safety could be a need. But once you're in that space, that need disappears. So it's really understanding who are you today and what are your needs today. And once your needs are covered, you can look into your values. Because using the example of your startup, right? Like if I know that I need financial stability and I know that I work better when there is a structure in place, the leaders have a clear vision and it's steady. If those are my needs and my values are innovation and creativity, rather than jump into a startup, which will ignore my needs and therefore not make me happy, you can go for larger organizations that do have that structure in place, but that they play in a more innovative or creative way. So you can still be true to your values, but let's not forget what are your needs. And I think that's an extremely important piece that, again, people go with like, oh, I value X, Y, Z, and they just jump. And then they go there and they're like, oh, but I'm still not good. I'm like, well, because you have ignored your needs. And I think that is a very powerful thing to just really remember when we think about needs. Financial is one of them, but as I showed you in that example, I think it's beyond finance. So like, what do you need to feel good? Like what we say is, think about it as what are the situations, environments that will get you from surviving to thriving? Like what is that? And that's what we need to make sure that we have. And for each person, it's different. And again, at different stages of our lives, that also evolves. So being very true to who you are today and what you need today is key. Which also builds on that idea that there is success or your clarity was your goal. I think one of the biggest mistakes that we make is that we set a goal when we were like 18 and we do it again when we are 25 or 30. And we sort of just follow that without questioning it. And then you might get there and realize that actually it's not so good. Or you keep pushing and sort of maybe hurting yourself in a way because you are not working towards it. And it's that idea that, again, what you set to be success or the idea that you wanted to achieve when you were at a certain age might not be true to yourself anymore. So it's very important to revisit who you are today, to check in with your needs, with your values, and make sure that everything that you build is going towards that. And that is the foundation. I'll take a pause and then I will tell you how we look at it in case you want to ask anything.
Yeah, I'm sitting here getting so much from this, by the way, Sandra, because no one's ever said this to me before about the... So I've done a lot of work on my values and I'm very clear on what they are. But I love what you just said then about we also have these needs. And they can constantly be changing dependent on where we are in our lives, as our values can change as well. But I feel like our values are more, they're kind of more set. I don't feel my values are sort of swayed too much over the course of my life, but my needs, absolutely, they have constantly changed. One of the need for me right now is time in nature. I need to spend time, whether it's by the ocean, whether it's just walking through the woods, because that grounds me. That actually de-stresses me and I need to decompress at the end of a busy week in recruitment. So being in nature is really, really important for me. That's a need. It's not a value, but it's definitely a need. So can you, because I'm going to give maybe a few more examples of where people get these two conflicted, because I'm now sort of really sort of thinking about a lot of people that I know in my network that have probably got these values that they say, well, this is my value. But for example, maybe the value is family, but their finances, they need that stability to support their family. So they're conflicting because they want to spend more time with their family, but they also need to work to support the family. So there's a value and a need. So how would that person identify and go on a bit of a journey with that? Because I think that this is so powerful. I think so many people struggle with this.
I mean, it's hard to give an answer without knowing the nuances of that case. But I would probably say we will, if that was the case that I'm playing with, I will try to break it down a little bit more. So when we are thinking about salary being a need, One of the exercises that we do is, what's your basic survival number? What is your ideal number? And what's your ego number? Mm-hmm. Right? Because you might say, oh, I need to make X amount of money. But is that what you genuinely need? Or is that what you believe that you should get paid for? Mm-hmm. And so that's one way to think about it. Because let's say that person is saying, I wish I spend more time with my family, but I have to provide. So I hold on to that statement, and just on the first thing I will do is looking at the money and like really see, is there any room for decreasing that amount of money in order to get more time with your family? That's one way to think about it. So let's say, could I drop 20% of my salary? Could I find a role that allows me to cover my needs financially and support for my family, and perhaps with that get extra time? It could be a quote unquote simple role. It could be to drop one day out of work and just work 4 days. Like, is there a way that we can think about it that you can still fulfill your financial needs and have more time with your family? That's one way. The opposite way is also to think, you want to spend more time with your family, but what does that really look like? Is it to be able to go on holidays with them? Is it to be able to, go and see your kids' top performing days? Like, what is it really that you are missing that you feel like you are not doing? And once you're able to identify that, then we can think, okay, so how do you build around it? Yeah, because again, family and money are often conflicting, or free time and money. And if you just hold on to those big things without really looking into what it is, your interpretation of that, what is it missing, we cannot build it.
This is so powerful. And I think people are going to be having a few light bulb moments here. But it also comes back to what you said at the beginning as well, which is defining what success means to you. And I think that a lot of people, they go through life thinking they need a bigger house, a better car, a better paid job. And they find themselves not only away from their values, but also far away from their needs as well, because they're chasing somebody else's version of success, society's version of success, which is saying you need more to be happy. And I'm sure we both know that that is not the case. And, you know, I've traveled around Australia in a van for 6 months, and I had, you know, there was, you know, I had like, you know, not many clothes with me, not many things with me. And I was really, really happy, and I didn't have a lot of stuff around me. But I think that we live in a society that thinks more and more is better, and more is going to bring more happiness, and often doesn't. So what, again, sort of, I want to keep on this, on the three statements, but just sort of pausing there about making sure that you're living in alignment again. And what if you sort of, what someone listens to this podcast right now and they're sort of having this moment, they're like, wow, I've actually realized that I am just so far away from, you know, my values and my needs, and I've been chasing this external validation of success. What advice would you have for those people to sort of like bring themselves sort of closer to their needs and their values?
Can I add one more thing before your point? Mm-hmm. Earlier when you said about chasing things, it doesn't bring us happiness. And I just want to put a small asterisk on that, because I don't want with people who that is their truth. They are in a stage in life where getting more is their number one priority. And so their values and their needs and everything makes sense, because that's the one thing. When we do, for example, industry analysis, like which industries do you want to go for? There are some people that they go like, I do not want to work for X, Y, Z. And everybody kind of knows which ones those are. I had clients who they're like, I don't care. If they pay, I'll go, because that's the one thing. And so just honoring that. And also as a personal story, like I have a part of me who is a yogi, and I lived in India, and I were like very basic, similar to your story. And I was very happy. But then I almost felt very conflicted, because I felt like that was the good thing to do. And so I should be that person. But then there's another part of me who loves potions. And I almost neglected, and I looked down at that part of myself, like, how dare to want these things? And so I learned, and that was one of the best sentences from my therapist, which is that we are like diamonds. We have different sides. And so we are multifaceted persons. And so that idea that it doesn't also have to be black and white, everything and nothing. And again, understanding what's your unique perspective. Maybe traveling across Australia on a van is what you wanted, but maybe for X amount of weeks. But if that was your life, would that be it? And maybe it's just finding that balance and honoring that we have different needs and different parts of ourselves that want to just kind of balance each other. You like nature, but you also like to run your own company. And like, can we not just allow to that to have that diversity and find that bigger way to integrate who we are?
This is so powerful. And I think one thing that I always think is like, I used to have this thing of all, and actually it's and. I can run a successful business and enjoy spending time in nature. I can progress in my career and be a great mother. You know, like these are things, these are stories. It's like, it's not either or, it's and. It's gray, like you said. And the other really good analogy that I heard as well, and I love the diamond, like we're multifaceted, we've got different sides, is this pendulum. And on one side, we've got burnout. On the other side, we've got boredom. And we need to kind of like not sway the pendulum into one extreme. Because when we're bored, then we're like, oh, we get restless. And when I was traveling around Australia, I did it for like almost 6 months and I was kind of getting a bit bored. I was like, oh, there's so many like water fountains, beaches, canyons that I can see now. I want to actually use my brain and get into work again. But then on the other side is burnout and there's this 100 mile an hour Georgie that doesn't stop. They're just busy, busy, busy. So I've just learned just to make sure that my pendulum doesn't go to either of these extremes and just try and find as best I can some sort of balance, if there's such thing, in the middle. And that's where I feel I'm at my happiness, because I've got my time in nature and my time away, but I've also got my time and my business that I equally love as well. And it's not trying to suppress either of them. It's honoring both of those parts of me. And we've all got them because we're not just one thing and we're constantly evolving as human beings. So I think this is just such an interesting conversation, because it all does relate back to that feeling on a Monday. And that, you know, it all ties into our psychology, our mindset, and feeling like, are we living a life that's true to us? And this is so, so powerful. So, but the final piece that you also mentioned as well, so that people seek clarity and really understand what they want, their needs versus their values, which is so powerful. Then obviously we step into the how. And I think this is where obviously they need to take the actions, the step in the right direction. So any, I guess, advice on like how you sort of go about helping people take the right actions? Maybe is it a goal setting exercise? But like once they've got the confidence and the clarity, how do they know what actions they should be taking week to week, month to month?
I guess it comes pretty naturally, right? Because if you know, okay, so I know what I want, then the question is, why are you not there? And what do you need to do to get you there? And so it's interesting, because when you ask the person, well, let's say I want to get a new job in tech. Perfect. So what do you need to do? And people go, well, get a job in tech. I'm like, so why are you not there? And then the problems begin, because I don't have experience, because I don't know what that is. And those are your stepping stones. So, for example, if they say, well, I don't have experience in tech. So then great. So then how can you get experience in tech? And so you start to build the little steps that can get you to your bigger goal. That's one of the cool ways. And then again, if we do reverse engineer, is what's holding you back? So you want to have this. Why are you not there? What's holding you back from doing it? So you can think about it from two perspectives. What are the, either from a positive mind perspective, what are the things that you need to do to get there? And I think that is extremely valuable. But when we are not able to see is the reverse. What's holding me back from being able to get there? Who would I be if I was already there? And what's on the way? That really can help us. And I think one of the big problems that I found myself when I do all these exercises, and I do it also with clients, is that sometimes when you look at the goal, if the goal is too far, it's so scary that you don't even know how to build towards it. And so you're like, well, I can't. It's too far. I can't. But that's the beauty, right? When you understand, okay, so I want to become this person. Let's go one step at a time. And I think breaking it down into, okay, so what's on the way? What do you need? What is the first step that you need to do? And really building into those smaller steps that get you there are key. And the steps and the accountability. Because so many people, so many of us, right? We know it. Like, it's like the joke example of like every, he also probably said, every January, they were like, I'm going to go to gym and I'm going to become this person. And then we don't do it because we know what we want to do. We have the plan. We have it, which is all through the cracks. It's that element of accountability. I think the community that you guys have is super powerful, and having people around you that are in that same mindset that can help each other be accountable for growth and to hold each other when we have setbacks, all of that is extremely, extremely valuable. A bit generic the answer, but I hope it gives enough framework.
Yeah, that's absolutely does. And you're so right. It's like you just, once you know, once you have the confidence and the clarity, you just take it one step at a time. You know, I think that what I used to do is set the goal so big because I thought that would motivate me, have all these expectations, tie my sense of worth into achieving that goal. And then when I realized that, oh my God, this goal is just, I've just plucked this from the sky because I thought it sounded good, but I'm so far away from that goal, my motivation starts to dwindle. I don't feel as disciplined. I find it tough to do the sort of the tasks I need to do. And I find a lot of people go through this, you know, because they've set the goal just so high. And it goes back, you know, like you said, going to the gym. It's like people say, I'm going to go to the gym every single day for an hour. It's like, no, how about you just you woke up and you went for a 10-minute walk? Well, how about you did like 10 push-ups? How about you just start there? How about you just cut down on one sweet treat a day? Let's just start on these little small things, because it's the small things done consistently that add up to big results. And I think what we do the opposite of that. We go big and we try and do everything all at once and it doesn't work. We exhaust ourselves, burn ourselves out, and we don't enjoy the journey either.
Yes. And I know that I think it's a very good point, right? Like if you think about the conversation starting from the lack of confidence that we have. I think setting those massive goals is also feeding into the lack of confidence, because it's so big that you don't feel that you can do it. And I, again, blame between brackets this perspective of society that says like you should aim this big, but nobody really looks into like, how do I build towards it? How do I become that person? And I think we sort of neglect the need to those little steps. And it doesn't sound sexy to say my goal is to walk 10 minutes a day. Nobody wants to say that because it doesn't sell. It doesn't look good. Everybody wants to say, I don't know, I want to become whatever, somebody. Like one of the persons in my network was say, I want to have Zac Efron's body. I'm like, sounds fantastic, but it's a big gap. Can we start smaller? And so they said you when you do the mood boards and the vision board that everybody asks you to like dream that. There are different reasons. One is, what if I don't know what I want? Like, how can I dream that far? It feels very difficult. And it also, to people like myself, it was very constraining. Like, what if I change my mind halfway through, which is usually my case? Like, I just don't want it. And other people is like, how do you do that when you can't even walk, right? Like, I think there is importance on like the smaller steps, understanding that it is a means to an end. And even though it's not sexy in a society to have a smaller goals, it is the only way. One step at a time, the cliche sentence that I say, but it's really one step at a time. But I think we are also being told that, well, I don't know if we've been followed, we're just keep growing into want everything to be tomorrow. We want to, like, I have people that I'm working with and they are thinking about being an entrepreneur or not, but they're like, but I want to be successful. I'm like, yeah, I know. So do I, but like to get there, you have to go through the pain. When I finished uni, like my business, I have a business degree in management. And so the joke is true. They told us, they educated us to be CEOs. But what nobody told me was that to become a CEO, I had to start from the bottom. They forgot to tell us that. I know it's common sense, but like it's that idea that everybody pushes for the ultimate goal and disregards the little steps that we have to take, if that makes sense.
It makes so much sense. And I'd also say this, that if you just stepped into a CEO role, you're not going to be a very good CEO, because the reason that person's a CEO is because of all the growth and the learnings and the struggles and the pain and everything that comes with that journey of stepping into a CEO role. That's why they're CEOs, because they've got the experience, the depth to them. I mean, most of them do, not all of them, but a lot of them do. And this is what I think our society is missing, is that we need to build up our knowledge buckets first. We need to really acquire skills, work on our characters, work on our mental and our physical well-being as well, because that whole adaptability piece, critical thinking, these are all the skills that we're going to need if we really want to succeed in our careers and our lives. And if we don't constantly invest in ourselves, we won't grow, our careers won't grow, our businesses won't grow. And I think your career and your business will only grow as fast as you do, which is why I invest in myself every single day. Whether and I see these podcasts, honestly, Sandra, as investing, because I learn from incredible people. And, you know, I've got a notepad here. It's full of scribbles and things and that I'm going to think on and take away with me from today's episode. And I really like to, I think knowledge is only power when it's applied. And that's what I think I've been able to do over the course of since starting Seed Solutions. I've grown a lot and I've had to become a completely different person in that time, because Georgie 6 years ago didn't have the skills and the knowledge that she needs to grow a successful recruitment company. And to be honest, some days I still question whether I do, but but again, it's learning through the pain and the struggle, and that's how we learn to grow. But look, one of the things I also just wanted to quickly touch upon with you as well is this whole thing of like imposter syndrome for especially women. Just it keeps on coming up in a lot of conversations, and I'm very attuned to certain language that people use as well. Any advice that you'd have, like somebody listening to this that, you know, they really are feeling motivated now to take charge of their careers, but they've got this voice in their heads that's constantly saying, you're not good enough, what, that won't work for you. Like, how can we shut down that voice? How can we like push past that and make sure that we're not sort of playing small because we're concerned of looking silly or not being good enough?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I think if I may just break it down a little bit. So I think imposter syndrome is a very common term used, and it always we use it as a label. And I like that it gives us comfort. It gives us a sense of belonging. It gives us a sense of I'm not the only one feeling this way. And it has a good thing. But at the same time, to me, when somebody tells me I have imposter syndrome, I'm like, great, but that feels like it's the tip of the iceberg. What's underneath? The way you explain it, it sounds like for you, imposter syndrome is that voice that is in your head and tells you something, but it's different for different people. And I think one of the common things is that fear of perhaps, in my case, is I don't want to bring attention to me. I can grow up in an environment where bringing attention was not good. So to me, is that the imposter syndrome, the reason why I'm not as forward is because what if people like I bring attention and what if that's not good? Like, it's just that's my fear. And for all the people, is that inner voice that it goes to criticize them, oh, no one's going to listen to you, you're like a piece of shit, yada, yada, yada. And so that's the voice. And for all the people, it can be, well, I tried it and I got burned, so I'm not going to go again. So really understanding what's underneath the label of imposter syndrome, it is the way to solve it. And my opinion. And I would also say from my experience and the people that I work with, it's not that the voice completely disappears. It's that it becomes slightly quieter. It comes up less often. And or I have a second voice that counterbalances it. And so that is, and I think we just need to maybe acknowledge that that's the reality, that aiming for that voice or whatever that feels like to completely disappear might just be an unreasonable goal. And maybe our goal is to, well, if I have that voice every day, can I just decrease the intensity? And one of the first exercises that I recommend for anybody who just feels like it has that imposter syndrome is to note it down. What is it telling you? Because if you don't know what is happening, there is nothing we can do about it. Is it the voice of a past caregiver who used to say something? It used to be, I don't know, a bully in a school. Like, what is it? My case, it comes from my background. Like, why are we not stepping in? And only when you're able to identify that, then you can build the strategies to support it or have a second voice. Like, there are different ways. But first and foremost is knowing what is it for you. And then you can build from there.
Yeah, I so, so powerful. And do you know what, when it comes up for me as well, Sandra, is when I'm about to step in to do something that's out of my comfort zone. Oh, it likes to pop up there. And it's like, you know, it's funny because I've experienced it a lot more recently because I'm pushing myself to do more content. I'm pushing myself to speak more in public. And it's, who do you think you are to speak in public? And well, why do you think you should be able to speak to all these executives? And that voice, but I'm so aware of it as well. And I sometimes give her a name, you know, I'm like, oh, there's Kirsty again. She's just popping up to try and put me down and keep me small. Thanks, Kirsty, for trying to keep me safe, but you're not needed now. Move on, Kirsty.
Yes. And I love what you say there, Georgie. I think it's a beautiful perspective. If we think about it, that voice is a protective mechanism. So that voice is not your enemy. It was there because at one point you needed that to protect yourself. So is that sort of what I call a conversation with that part? You're like, thanks, as you said, thanks for coming. I hear you. Yeah, it is risky. Yeah, I might get burned. Fine, but I'm going to do it anyway. And having that integrative conversation, or like not trying to shut it down either, or feeling bad because it pops up. I think all of that, it is also how you become more and more confident and you manage that imposter syndrome, if we might say it.
Absolutely. Sandra, I could honestly sit here and talk to you all day. This has been such a great conversation. I've really, really enjoyed this today. Look, we've covered a lot, but is there anything that you feel that we haven't covered that you just want to leave the listeners with? It could be the best piece of career advice you ever heard, something that's really helped you in your journey, whether that's building confidence or like anything that you think you'd like to end with and that would really help the listeners today.
I'll give them a limit with 3 points, if I can. One is that there is no one definition for success. That remember that people leave Google, right? So there is, if people leave Google, there is another world behind. So again, no one definition for success for everybody. And then the other one that I think I'm still working on it is that you can't run away from yourself forever. Like it will eventually catch up with you. It will catch up with you as a burnout or underperforming or whatever that is. So like really listening and tuning to who you are. And then the last piece for anybody looking for a job is don't jump into the job search without knowing what you're looking for. You won't find it. And really taking a moment to think what you want before you go and search for it is key.
Incredible. Sandra, thank you so much for all of your wisdom today. Where can I send people that want to find out more about you, your coaching? Where do you hang out the most?
So it's funny that we have this conversation as we close. So part of my learning area is to be more out there. So I haven't been very much on socials. I'm working on it. So for the time being, probably LinkedIn is the best way. And hopefully in the next few months, I will be more vocal in other platforms. But for now, probably LinkedIn and our company website is the best way to reach out.
We'll make sure we put all the links in the show notes. But thank you so much. I've really enjoyed today's episode. So yeah, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all of your stories and wisdom. It's been fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you've got this far, that honestly means the world to me and lets me know that you've got a lot of value from today's episode. So if I could just ask you to do one thing, pull out your phone and please leave a quick review. It honestly would mean the world to me. It will help this podcast grow and get our message out there to more people. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing. And please reach out and just let me know what you want to hear more about, what you're interested in. It will just also help me make sure that I'm continuing to speak to topics that are relevant and also find guests that are real true experts in what you want to know more about. So have an amazing day. Thank you so much for doing that. And I can't wait to share the next episode with you.